This is a prevailing prayer with GSW, an inspiring teaching that nurtures Christians' ability to pray right by the Spirit. This revelation will open your eyes to how to be led by the Holy Spirit in place of prayer. God bless as you listen.
Father, we bless your name. We give you glory. You are wonderful and you are worthy. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word that has prevailed. Thank you for your spirit that is prevailing. Thank you, Father, for all the miracles that are done in our midst every day. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to class. This evening, I'll be discussing with us on spiritual sensitivity. Being spiritually sensitive. And it is also one of the things that I believe when we pray, we must put to work. The essence of being spiritually sensitive is so that we know, we're able to diagnose and we're able to solve problems without having to waste our energy or beat the air on a matter. You know, and you get effective results in the place of prayer. You also have effective decision-making process. You know by discernment what to do and how to do it. And you wouldn't be bogged down with trying to solve problems where there is none. Spiritual sensitivity is key for everyone who would pray and get a good answer. So please, announce to all those that should be on the call, tell them that we've been together for 27 days now. By this time, tomorrow will be a night of glory, final day, which will end at midnight. And after that, Saturday, we have our worship program in Lagos, and we are done. And the one thing I've been emphasizing on, it is not that we are done, so we will stop praying. But we are done, and then we will move into the next phase. You pray in your closet, and then you get the reward of prayer in the open. That was what Jesus told us. He said that when you want to pray, you go into your closet to close your door. He said, then your father, who hears your prayer in the closet, when you come in the open, he will show you the result of the answered prayer. Then people will bless the name of your father. They will praise God. They will say, oh, this happened. Oh, that happened. But being prayerful is key. Being prayerful is very important. However, turning prayer into work, that is wrong. And I wanted us to be able to clear that out. We've been prayerful in February. By March, we are taking dominion. We are going into spaces where we have no chance of setting a foothold on or taking over before. And we are taking them over. We are starting new businesses. We are elbow capturing, failing businesses. We are flying. We are taking off. And this will be done by the express grace of God. So, fasten your seatbelts. Let's prepare for a March of Dominion. March will be the month of dominion for us as a ministry. And that is because when you pray, you have dominion. When Jesus prayed at Gethsemane, he had dominion on the cross. Dominion comes after prayer. Prayer does not come after prayer. Yeah, so people will say, after prayer is more prayer. After more prayer is much more prayer. That is wrong. That is very wrong. After prayer, there is testimony, there is dominion, there is progress, there is a breakout of the spirit. We can measure the effect of prayer. We can measure it in the progress we make, both vertically and horizontally, in our business, in our relationship with God, in our ministries, in our personal life, in our marriages, in the way we handle issues, in our level of maturity, in our display of wisdom, in how we solve problems. We will see that a prayer is helpful, but we will not pump prayer into the thing that we are doing and then be praying nonsense and ineffective prayers, just calling some things prayer. Somebody sent me a video yesterday of some people that went to Okeahimo. It's not a bad thing to go to mountains to pray. There's nothing wrong with it. That's going there and just lying down and just cursing your enemies. That's not prayer. That's religion. That's a problem, a fundamental mental problem that the church in Nigeria needs to really, really seriously find a solution to. Because the whole world is moving at a pace that it seems ignorance is not allowing us to catch up with them because of the mindset that we have, which has always tied us to the past and to the world of darkness and evil, and a preconceived notion that somebody is behind our misfortune, that somebody is the reason we are not making progress. That idea, that thing, it came from illiterate ministers who themselves came from very colorful backgrounds. Somebody that is my own, looking for my family, for example, is there for somebody that came from a family where the father was an occultic man. Is there from the family where the father, where they are worshipping one idol. So everybody came from different sources. And for this reason, Jesus Christ said, when we come into him, we have become new creatures. That the old life is gone. So that all of us will have the same starting point. So that the son of a herbalist and the son of a pastor who became born again on the same day, both of them will not get into Christ. And one is still fighting the effect of his father being a herbalist, while the one that's the son of a pastor already has an advantage. I heard the minister of the gospel say once that all of us are not the same. That somebody is a first generation Christian. Somebody is the first born again Christian from his family, and his family had always been fetish. And so you want to say they are the same. They are not the same. The one that has been a first generation Christian is going to go further than the one that is just starting out. That is not true. It's absolutely not true. But when we try to put logic into gospel, we begin to say things like that. And we say these things in error. And then those who hear it will think that, since I'm the first born again in my family, and my mother is a witch, my father is a wizard, and I'm the first born again, that means I have battery. I have battery in my life. As against my being that whose mother is very prayerful, and whose father was born as Emmanuel. So that means that has advantage. And I don't, that is, there is nothing as silly in spirituality as that. There's nothing. And if you preach this kind of gospel, or you teach people things like this, and you tell them that after they convert from Islam to Christianity, they have more work to do than those who are born Christian, then you are making an error. If you look at the scripture, you see Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul did not meet Jesus physically. He was not a disciple of Jesus Christ at all. He was a persecutor of the church, practicing Judaism. Apostle Paul remains maybe the greatest apostle of Christ, and yet he had no advantage whatsoever. He's not different from somebody whose father was an occultic and whose mother was a witch. He came from a totally different religion, Judaism, into Christianity by divine conversion. And after that, see how far he took the gospel. With the knowledge he had, he surpassed Peter in certain aspects of the gospel. The two of them met on the same street, and the Bible said people came, and the same miracle Peter was working, Paul was working them. They said people brought handkerchief, aprons taken out of the two of them, and they were healing the sick with it. We saw that the two of them, but they were doing the gospel, and the power of the Holy Spirit was working in the two of them as equals. The Holy Spirit did not say, oh, this one was the Cephas, and this one just came yesterday, so the anointing in Cephas is greater. The Holy Spirit did not do that. So nobody should use that logic. Teach the gospel. Show people the gospel. There is nobody that has an advantage because their father is a pope over somebody whose father is a herbalist. Inasmuch as you teach them the gospel, Christ is their new beginning. Christ is their new beginning. I'm saying that so that every one of us can know the mindset thing, the change of mind, changing our mindset is important so that you will not think you are at a disadvantage in any way. Christ has called you, he has saved you, and has given you the power to dominate. All right. So today we do spiritual sensitivity. Being sensitive can be positive and negative. There are some people, they are very sensitive. Sensitive to the point where they pay attention to somebody who didn't greet them well. They're like the snail. Or the there's this flower that when you touch it, it will quickly close up. Some people are that sensitive. Not spiritually, just naturally. People that are very sensitive make very bad spouses when it comes to marriage and relationships. They make very bad friends and very bad spouses. You can't play with them. You can't joke with them. You cannot tease them. They take everything you say literally. They are quick to take offense. Quick to take offense. They are quick to go into their feeling. They are quick to see others as looking down on them. Sensitive people are usually have serious emotional issues. That's the truth. They have serious emotional turmoil that they have to deal with. You know, they can be extremely jealous. They can be quite volatile. They can lock themselves up in a room for a day or two and just become melancholic. So in that guise, sensitivity can be a negative thing. Now, being sensitive to the feelings of others is a good thing. The same way, if you are sensitive to the feelings of others, you will pay attention to them, you will care for them, you will love them. But you will notice a unique thing about love. That the Bible says that love does not hold account of wrong. Love does not write down grudges. Love is not sensitive to the pain that people inflict on it. It is, however, sensitive not to inflict pain on others. Love is understanding. Love knows when it is wanted and when it is given the attention it needs. And love knows when it's not. So in the flesh, being sensitive is both a positive and negative thing. That is in the flesh, depending on the individual. When you meet people that are overly sensitive, even though some of them are Christians, you will notice that they are never safe. When people dress and they feel somebody has dressed better than them, you will see it in the attitude. They don't want to go again. All of you are going somewhere. And no, why? All of you are wearing pink. I'm the only one wearing green. I'm the only one not. I didn't dress like all of you. I now look like the odd one out. You begin to notice sensitivity, always trying to. So it has a problem with the individualism because being sensitive is a social construct. Social construct. People want to fit in into a social construct. And so being sensitive is a social construct. In the flesh, which is a problem because you cannot be individual if you always look to the social construct for your validation. I started with it in the flesh because it is important that those of us who are praying, as we pray, we learn to remove some things from our lives. Prayer is an individual, is built to build us up individually. Even though there is corporate prayer and we gather together as brethren, we pray and it is effective. Our walk with God is personal. It is individual. It is not a mob walk. So it is my walk. It is my walk. It is Jezebel's walk. I will give account for my walk. I will give an account for every decision I make. I will give an account for everything I say. I will give an account for how I treat people. If I do care about people, if I love people, I will give an account for every idle word. So I have to be careful to make sure that I do not offend people or trample on them or be insensitive to their plight or feeling. However, in the same vein, I have to be spiritually sensitive to know what God wants me to do per time. So spiritual sensitivity is a very good thing. It is very good because you will be able to know what a problem is, and you would be able to solve the problem without giving excuses or resorting to blaming the devil. When you make a mistake, you will not say it is the devil. When your child is not doing well in school, I remember reading Gifted and Ben Carson said he wasn't doing well in school. The mother tried everything. They were wondering why. Because the mother really wanted them to excel in the academics. Then one day, the mother decided that sit in front of the class. They sat in front, and then he did better. So they realized that he had a problem with his sight. Now, when he was sitting at the back, he couldn't really see the board well, the bottom glasses. And then he began to excel. That is a positive sensitivity, being sensitive. Look at why is this child not doing well? Paying attention. That is positive. It is negative, however. If that child is not doing well and the mother takes a cane and begins to spit him, begin to insult him, say that it came from dull, they are dull on his father's side, or she begins to say he's a witch or a wizard that is behind his poor performance in academics. It could be any of those reasons. It could be saying perfectly well, and it could be for demonic reasons that he wasn't doing well. It could be as a result of his lack of concentration. It could be the problem. Or it could be his sight. But when you are sensitive, you will know exactly what it is. So you will not blame something else for what it is. You would say, oh, I know what it is. I can see it because I'm sensitive to it. Sometimes it could be a demonic issue. Somebody is sick. I remember we had a meeting once, and this lady came, quite a tall lady. We were having a musical concert in church. We invited many minstrels, many groups to come and sing in our small parish then when I was a parish pastor. And so one of the drummers in one of the teams invited his girlfriend that, oh, I'll be playing at Ogudu. Can you come? When you come after the event, we can then go out. So the friend came. She was a Muslim, not a Christian. She came because she was dating this guy who was a drummer. So she came for our meeting. We started ministering. Group one sang, group two sang. When group three began to sing, this lady began to manifest. She held her two, she held her head with her two hands, and she began to shake the head so much. The wig she was wearing flew off. She was scattering the whole place. The assistant pastor of the church was sitting at the back. So quickly she said to some people, get out of there, get out of there, let her, just take her out to all these people. Take her out, let her go and be, you know. He was not sensitive. So, that thing was disrupting the order, was disrupting the order of service. And he didn't like that. He wanted the service to, she wanted to just enjoy the music and for us to close and go home. So, you know, I was with her when she did that, and I was like, oh no. Nobody gets up in church and begins to behave like this on their own accord. You know, people don't want to, somebody cannot dress up like this. You know, dress up very well, with all the makeup and everything, and then choose to come to a public place and begin to scatter the chairs, and nobody does that. This person surely must have. There was something wrong with her. So I asked the Lord, I said, oh, what's wrong? And the Lord said, there's a demon in her. Oh, I called the same assistant pastor. It was like a boss to me. Because I was a minister under her. I said, ma'am, can you please come? Let's attend to that lady. So they took the lady into the children's church. The assistant pastor was looking at her like, oh, what are you up to? But the lady is a female, and I wanted a female minister to attend to her. And I wanted it to be the assistant minister. The pastor, I wanted her to see that she has power. Because she's very academic, she's a lecturer. And so she treats things very in an academic manner. And people like that do not realize the power they have as born-again Christians. I wanted her to see that she's powerful and that she should add it to her experience that not everything will go according to your order. Be sensitive. So I said to her, please lay hand on the lady and pray for her. There's a demon in her. So she grudgingly went to the lady, laid her hands on her head, and prayed and said, introducing my cast out to demon. And then the demon screamed at her. So she backed away. I said, don't back away. Back away. get close to her. I said, no. I said, get close to her, ma. Get close to her. She's not the one. There's a spirit in her. She wants to be free. You can see that. You are threatening this demon inside this girl, but you are looking at this physically. You are very physical conscious. A demon can't. When people attempt to cast out demons and their synesthesia, their understanding of things is physical, then they can get hurt. Demons do not harm their superiors, and we are superior to demons. If you are superior to something, you can never be afraid of it. You cannot be afraid of something you are superior to. You are only afraid of something that you think is superior to you. Do you think a demon is superior to you? So why are you afraid of it? Push your own box. And then pray for the lady again. And then the lady turned around quiet. The lady even took a bottle of water. The lady said, ah, thank you, ma. She took a bottle of water and drank water. And she was trying to walk out of the children's church like a normal person, as if she was fine. But I stood at the door. I was watching her. She greeted the woman. The staff person wanted to leave. I said, no, you cannot leave. I told her to wait. Then the lady walked towards me. She wanted to leave the children's church. And I said, let me see your eyes. And when she opened her eyes, the eyes was blood red. Red. I said, the demon is still in you. The demon is not pretending as if it is gone. So that you can leave this place and so that it will not come out. So I said to her, you are not fine yet. She said, I'm fine. I'm okay now. I said, you are not fine. I said, the demon is still in you and it is pretending. She said, no. No, I said, I'm fine. So I switched. I said, in Jesus' name, speak to me. Where are you? And the demon said, I'm in the tummy. I'm in the breast. I'm in the tummy. I'm in the breast. Well, I said, oh, okay. Like, what has happened? I said, cast out. So, then laid the hands on the lady's tummy. Cast out the spirit. And when the spirit went off now, all of us saw it. The lady fell on her face. When the spirit left, the spirit left screaming. The lady fell on her face. By this time, the staff pastor was very convinced that that I knew what I was doing. And then the lady recovered, told her to stand up. She stood up. And then I looked in her eyes, it was clear. Then she said, ah, oh my God. She touched her body, touched her breast, touched her tummy. And then she said, ah, God bless you. God bless you, ma. I didn't know God would save me in this place. I said, what's the problem? She said, I was in my house, or lying on the couch at Ikorodu. I was lying on the couch, I was sleeping in the afternoon, when suddenly I felt this thing. It just dropped on my chest. And after it dropped on my chest, I suddenly felt heavy. So I told my mother, I said, mommies, there's something entered me. Something entered me. So there are Muslims, they know about charms. They know about spirits. The Islamic world is full of jinns and also, so they were not ignorant of things like that. She said, her mother said, oh, go to the hospital. She went to the hospital, they did the scan, they couldn't find anything. Then the mother told her to go to one Islamic cleric, and she went there and she told the man. And then the man did some compulsion for her to drink, and then she drank it, and the thing became worse. Because, of course, the source of those portions were also demonic. And then she came to church. And the power of the Holy Spirit, in the course of a music, a worship service, came upon her and exposed that demon. And imagine that I was not there that day. And the staff pastor told them, just put her aside until she all these people that would just come and attack her. It means she was not spiritually sensitive. And as a result of that, she will have lost the soul. Why? Because after that lady got free, she gave her life to Christ and she got baptized in the Holy Ghost, which then prevented her from ever being demon possessed again. And then we have gained the soul for the kingdom. Not only that, she has a testimony she can share. If anybody asks her tomorrow, why did you become a Christian? As she tells her story, most likely the people listening to her story will also become Christians. Because it will be quite a compelling story that will state the revelatory power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power over demons that believers are, and to attest to the power of God at work in her. So, as Christians, being spiritually sensitive is very key. You will be able to know. You'll be able to know what to do. Like the man of Issachar vision, being spiritually sensitive can also work in a political space. The Bible said that after David came back from Ziklag, the Lord told him to go to the tribe of Judah, and he went to Judah and stayed at Hebron. And when he was at Hebron, David began to operate as a king. What do I mean? He already had a team of at least 1,200 people. They are more than that, but I always put the number at that estimate. The Bible said they had 400 mighty men with him. And these men all have wives. They were men. So that means there are 1,002. He, by that time, already had two wives. And some of the men also have more than one wife. And then they had children. So there will be at least maybe 3,000 or thereabouts that came back to stay in Hebron. And he was their leader. So he was their king. But it was not crowned as a king. Whenever they needed anybody to support or help them, they go to him. It was the one with the soldiers. All these men are soldiers. So he had military power, but he was not officially a king. They had the head of the family in Judah. In Israel at that time, they operated a family head system, and they had elders at the city gate who helped to judge their cases. Saul was the official king. Saul was dead. So Saul's son had become the king, aided by Abner at Gilboa. And that boy did not have any influence. So Judah or the whole of Israel were kingless. Then the men of Issachar vision came. And when they came into the city, they were not of the tribe of Issachar. They were men of Issachar vision. They were prophets. And when they came and they began to minister in that city, they realized that the city had not reconciled or recognized the presence of the anointing in David. So David was anointed in secret. So only members of his own family knew. And members of family cannot vouch for a person because they didn't call outside us to the. So if Samuel was alive, Samuel would have been the one to come and tell them that, oh, David was anointed king years ago, so now let him reign. But because Samuel was dead, and it was only members of David's family that were there when he was anointed king, there was nobody to vouch for him. So he came back, and nobody made him king. The men of Issachar vision were praying, and then the Holy Spirit told them, a king is in Judah. And the name of the king is David. That is spiritual sensitivity. Because these men have a reputation as prophets. When they went to David and anointed him as king, and they announced to the whole of Judah that this is your king, the whole of the tribe of Judah accepted him. And David became king in Judah. So being sensitive, it's a question of only about through. I've spoken about it in politics now. I've spoken about it also in terms of ministration. I've spoken about it in terms of physical. I speak about it also now in terms of your career or your work. Being sensitive spiritually, that you are going for an interview and you are praying for a job. I give you an example of something that happened one time at Elephant House in Lagos. Inside the Elephant Building, there is a bank. This was years back. I went to this bank to do a transaction. As I was in this bank, my phone rang. Picked the call, was a member of my church at the time, greeted me and said, "I think this, when we go down, Sammy, when we go down, Sammy, I've paid that fasted. I couldn't get a job. There's nothing to eat." You know, so normal lamentation. So I asked him, I said, "Where are you?" said he's somewhere in Ikeja. I said, where in Ikeja? He announced the place. I said, you're not far from me. Said yes. And then there was a man by my right. He was also doing the transaction in the bank. I was on the phone with this person. And then the Lord told me, this man that you're looking at is the boss of the person that is calling you. Now, the two of them didn't know each other from anywhere. Oh, I said, wow. So then I greeted the man. Good afternoon. Ah, greeted me. I said, oh, can I have your business card? He said, why? I said, the Lord just told me something now. Lord told me something now. And I believe that that thing involves you and somebody else. He said, oh, what's that? I said, oh, Lord told me that you're looking for somebody in your IT department that's very good in that department. And the man said, oh, that's true. I said, I have somebody that is very good. The man was like, wow, how did you know that? Do you know me from somewhere? I said, no. Then I was on the call with this person. I was talking with this person. And then I turned and Lord said, you are the boss of this person. And these people didn't know each other. And so I collected this card. Then I called this guy. I said, come and meet me at the bank. He came. I gave him the card. He went to meet the man at work. The man employed him immediately. And he was with the man for a long time. And I think together now, I think he has not traveled out, but they were together for a long time. So again, being sensitive. He could have gone to sit down at one company, could have been praying and fasting at home. But you pray and fast at home and there is no direction. There is no move. There is no leading. You are not spiritually sensitive. It is important that somebody that is praying in the spirit, that you pay attention. So one of the reasons why we don't get spiritually sensitive is because our attention span as human beings is so low. Remember when Apostle Paul said that when we pray, that our mind is not benefited. Apostle Paul said, when we pray in the spirit, that our mind does not prosper. What he was saying is that many of us, when we are praying in tongues, our mind wanders. You are praying in tongues, you are thinking of, what am I cooking for dinner? You are praying in tongues, you are thinking of, what time will my husband be home? I will come home after. Your mind is going. And some of us, our mind wanders unsteady. So that when you are praying, your mind is let loose to forage in strange places while your body has turned the prayer to a mechanical prayer. Mechanical being that you are just doing shakarabarakate. So you are doing that. And so your body, it's so quick for your body to begin to do that by itself. When your body begins to do that by itself, your mind is no longer in the prayer. So your mind begins to wander. As a result of this, we become spiritually insensitive. We cannot trap with our mind what the spirit is saying. So it is a discipline that a Christian must practice to keep your mind in focus when you are praying in tongues. To keep your mind in focus. To allow your mind to be a part of the prayer process. So when we pray in understanding, our mind joins us because our words will come out of our mind. So if our mind is not in the prayer, we'll just be saying gibberish. But when we are speaking in tongues, we reverse the trend. We then allow our mind not to be in while we just speak. And it is natural for us to pray like that, to pray in tongues, because it is spirit direct to the mechanics of speech. Mind is isolated, but it is the duty of the Christian to then involve your mind in the process, that your mind would act as an antenna to receive divine instructions from the Lord in the place of prayer. You must do this consistently. Another reason that many of us are not spiritually sensitive is because we have itchy ears. The Bible sharpens our mind. When you read the Bible consistently, you become spiritually sensitive naturally. Naturally, you become spiritually sensitive. When you read the Bible consistently, that is, you read it daily, you become spiritually sensitive. It is a natural thing. You just notice that the eye of your understanding is enlightened, and you begin to develop like a sixth or seventh sense towards everything. But what many of us, what they give us as a substitute for that is the phone. The phone, social media, and some of us, we listen to too many pastors. It's a disease. Is that a good thing? It is never a good thing to put the words of other preachers ahead of the scriptures. I noticed that trend. It's shocking to me. The Bible is the one that you are supposed to have 90% of your attention on, the Word of God itself. Allowing the Bible, the power behind it, the rhema of the Word, to purge your heart and to sharpen your heart and to build you up. But many of us, we will not read the Bible. But we have the link to all sorts of programs online. As we are joining this one, we are joining that one, we are joining that one, we are joining that one. We on YouTube, as we are listening to this apostle, you listen to that apostle, you listen to this pastor, you listen to that reverend. You are the one that. So sometimes I'll be, people will be talking and they'll say, "Do you know Apostle XYZ?" I'll say, "I don't know." "Do you know Apostle QQR?" "I don't know." "Do you know Pastor XGW?" "I don't know." "Do you know Pastor SAY?" They say, "I don't know anybody." They say, "Why do I need to? Why do you guys know them?" Yes, with all of them that you know, you have a lot of problems. Are you not thinking it through? How can you know 30 pastors and your life problem is still there? Does that not tell you that and I don't know any of them and I don't have issues? Why would you? Oh, today, huh? I said to myself, I must visit that place. They said there's one ecumenical center. We went. They said there is. So you listen to this, you listen to that, you listen to that, you listen to that, you listen to that. What then happens is that you have so many meals prepared from so many different sources, and then you cannot come up with the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit to discern what is right and what is not right. One of the things I dread the most is that somebody will be speaking and person will be quoting me. I made it a rule for all the ministers that are in ministry. You must never say Balaji said, I do not want to hear it. Why? Because in the church I was attending before, many of the pastors, they'll be on the altar preaching. Every 2 minutes, that Gio said, that the Gio said, that the Gio said. I said, what is wrong with these people? They do not bother to read the Bible for themselves. They do not listen to the Holy Spirit for themselves. They just quote their Gio. Either it is applicable, not applicable, does not matter. The Gio has said, that the Gio has said. So you preach for 1 hour. You mention that Gio says 60 times. For every 1 minute, he is your source. Is your resource, is the one you are quoting. You are not a Christian. And when I began to work in ministry, I began to have ministers. It was my number one rule. When you minister and I hear you quote Balaji 1 or 2 times, you will not minister again. It shows you are a baby. You cannot hear from God. I do not want you to tell me about what I said. I want you to teach me. I also want to learn from you. So if you are quoting me, why am I listening to it? Why are you? You are the one on the program. You are preaching. I'm supposed to be blessed, but you are quoting me. So does that don't quote me. Hear from the Lord. I want to hear from the Lord through you. That way you will grow and I will grow. And that way I will know I will be able to measure whether you are growing or not. So I made it a strong. I remember one minister said that they said I should not mention. I said, do not. I told them, I said, if any man is going to minister, I'm going to be quoting Bible every 2 minutes. I don't want to hear him speak again. And I noticed that from that time, people stopped the habit because it is not helping them. That is not how the scriptures were written. If everybody was quoting Peter, when you are looking at the book of John, or you are looking at the book of Titus, Timothy, when you are looking at all those references, you will just be seeing Apostle Paul say, Apostle Paul say, everybody must receive of the Lord. So you read the scriptures, you pray in the Holy Ghost, you trap your mind, and you ensure that your mind is present, is consciously present when you are praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, you must eschew, do away with, kill every thought that says that a demon or the devil is the primary one that is disturbing your life. Those who taught that gospel, there are many of them are mentally disturbed. That's the truth. That they say that once you see a problem, it is the enemy. No. Once you have that mindset, it has defeated all the purpose of discernment because people don't even bother to discern anymore. They just say, ah, everything is devil. So even when they are the ones doing the wrong thing, that they ought to talk to themselves and correct their wrong behavior is devil. Somebody has a bad habit, it steals, is devil. Somebody lies all the time, is devil. Somebody is sleeping around, is devil. Everything is devil. Things that you can talk to the person, correct the person, help the person to shaping up so that the person will begin to walk on the straight and narrow and his life will become better. Once you give it to the devil, you can no longer help that person. So anybody that has this blanket notion that the enemy is chasing me, ignore, kill it. Kill it. The enemy has no say in the life of a believer. When we become born again, we received the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. We can have challenges in culture, in our belief system, in we can have certain challenges here and there in certain things. Right? The word of God is there to correct us, to prune us, and to set our course right. But we must keep away from the notion that all problems have the same source. They are not. So, which is why being spiritually sensitive is very important. Now, there are some people that emotionally they are compromised, and because of that, they live in denial. I remember a case. The Lord told me to turn my back, and I did. A lady reached out to me and said, oh, but I've been there. There's a problem. My mom is blind. My mom got blind. My mom is 55, and suddenly she lost her sight. She couldn't see. Can you please pray for my mother? Well, I said, I have no problem. Where's your mom? She said, the mom is at Ibadan. I said, oh, I'm coming to Ibadan for a program. Can you give me your address? I'll come and pray for your mom. So then she gave me the address. I went. I called her. She said she'll also be in the battle so that she will see me. So she came. We got there. I saw the mother. I saw the older sister. I saw the younger sister. I saw everybody. As I stood, I wanted to pray for the mother so that she can see. I realized something. Because I'm sensitive. I realized something. I said, I said, I cannot pray for your mom. They said, why? Everybody said, why? I told the older sister, I said, how old are you? And she's 37. I said, have you ever been married? She said, no. But you have somebody that wants to marry you now. She said, yes. I said, how many months ago did you meet the person? He said, 2 months ago. Am I really talking about marriage now? Then the lady that called me asked her, what about you? She said, I've not been married, but I've met somebody now. We are really working towards marriage. Then the young man said, "What about you? He's 30 plus." Said, "Oh, yeah, I'm also, God has done it finally. That is why we wanted our mother to see, so that she can be a part of our celebration." I said to three of them, I said they should excuse us. They said they shouldn't leave the sitting room. I want to talk to their mother. So when they left, I told the mother, I said, "You chose not to see so that your children can do well." He said yes. So the mother was rich. And the children were not doing well. So they gave her an option in the witchcraft oven that they would take her eyes and actually, they will release the children. And the woman took it. That option. So therefore, she will not witness, they will be alive, but she will not see the wedding of the children or their progress. But then, after the woman spoke, I said, "Oh," and then she told me all the story about whatever. And I said, "Okay, the power of God is here, can heal you. Wait for you, you'll come out of that witchcraft, you destroy the whole COVID nonsense, and you are going to be fine, 100% fine." The woman said she cannot risk it. Said, "Oh, she cannot risk it. That's. She would rather that this is what she knows. That, Pastor, what you're saying, you know it. But what I'm also saying, I know it. You are saying that you want to pray for me. I will see. After I see, all the covenant I made will be bad, will be destroyed. And those who want to touch me, they won't touch me. And my children will be safe. That is what you know. This is what I know. But I have been in this thing for years and I've seen what these people can do. And when they give me this offer, I took it and I do not want to betray it. So, can you please let me be?" I said, "Okay." So I called the children. But I didn't want to tell them anything like that about their mother. So I called them and I said, "I've had a good discussion with your mom. Your marriages will proceed and everything will be done well, but I'm not getting involved in this because your mom's faith is not in it and I cannot force her." Ah, and the lady said, "No, we are Christians. This is what I want that God will want. Is what I want that God will want." I said, "I wanted my mother to see. What are you saying? You cannot say that. You will heal her and she will be healed." I said, "Okay." I took my car keys and I left. And she began to call other, every other pastor she knew. She would call them. They would call. They would... And I was just watching her from afar. Eventually, the mother did not see. The siblings got married. She was so invested in her mother seeing, she ruined that relationship. And so later she came back to me after the mother died. The mother passed after shortly after their marriage. And then she said, "Baby, why didn't you pray for her?" And then I told her, "You are not sensitive at all. And you are acting as if you want to force into reality something that has serious consequences for all of you involved. When a Christian is not sensitive, they begin to back against the tree, begin to make a lot of noise. They don't pay attention. And it is important that as a believer, you know." So which is why when the Lord speaks to us, we know. We know. And when we know what the Lord wants us to do. We know how to go about it. We will not be like prophets of Baal. We will gather on top of a mountain and be shouting that Baal should bring rain, Baal should bring thunder, Baal should bring lightning, and Baal couldn't produce. We will be like the prophet Elijah, who came on top of the mountain, knowing everything he ought to do, doing everything he was told to do, and bringing down fire from heaven. That is how a believer should be. So it is important that we are spiritually sensitive. In this month, as we have, the more we pray, the more sensitive we are becoming. When I look at our administration hub where ministers prophesy, and I see the number of prophecies that are coming in throughout the month of February, you will see like the number went like times 10 went up because people are seeing, people are hearing. Don't be dull of hearing. Don't let this month be over. And then you just go back to spiritual insensitivity. You continue to see, you continue to hear, you continue to know. Knowledge then informs right decision, so that you do not do something that will just waste your time where God is not involved. This is very, very important. If there's any other thing, I don't depress notes on social media before now, so you can just take a look at it on Twitter and read up some other things I didn't mention. But ensure that you keep your spiritual sensitivity. Get rid of natural sensitivity that is ruining your relationship. Get rid of it. If that's a very sensitive person, it is not good for you because it will not allow you to be to do the work of the gospel effectively. However, you must be sensitive to people's need. You must pay attention. You must have compassion. You must be able to do things that the Holy Spirit is asking you to do without any restraint. One of the things I dislike the most is the Holy Spirit telling you to do something, and you saying you are shy or that you cannot do it because of yourself, because you don't know how people will look at it, or you are asking, like, what if the person is not healed? That's wrong. When the Holy Spirit says to do something, we put self aside, we do it. That is how we know we are indeed children of God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm asking again, all of us, to pay attention to the word of God. To do that which Jesus Christ said we should do. To be faithful and obedient to the Lord in all things. I'm asking that the grace we need and the power we need to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, to understand opportunities as against being scammed, to be sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit when He says we should do something or we should not do something, that grace is released unto us mightily. I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that you are sensitive, that you can see, you can hear, that you make informed decisions by the Spirit. I declare that for those of us who are slacking behind in the things of the Spirit and we are trusting God or people or guidance, that we begin to trust the Lord. And declare that those of us who have not seen before will see, those who have not heard before will hear. The mistakes you used to make consistently, you will no longer make them. You become sensitive to them. You become sensitive to them and you break the yoke of every form of evil and every form of behavior that does not fit or conform with the righteousness and the reality of Christ. As I'm praying for you, I'm declaring it. You are sensitive. You are guided by the Spirit. You know what the Spirit is saying. And you do what the Spirit is saying. You do everything the way the Spirit wants you to do it. And you are conscious of the reality of God. Thank you, Father. I pray for relationships today. I declare that those who are hurting will heal. That those who are in pain, that the Lord will open their eyes, open their hearts. There will be no more pain. There is joy unspeakable full of glory for you. Blessed be God, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the blessed of the Lord shout glory. Glory.
We hope you have been blessed by the teaching and revelation you heard today. For more Spirit-filled teachings, please visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com. God bless.